Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Yitzchak Basser. Maseches Nedarim has been dedicated by Mr. and Mrs. Yehuda Koenig in loving memory of Malka and Aaron Zvi Krausman.
The Mishnah in Nedarim Daf Tesam and Aleph starts off Knidri Yishoyim Nader Benazir Vekarbon Veshvua. If someone says a Lashon when he makes a Neder that he's making a Neder like Nidri Yishoyim, so that is a valid Neder for a Nazir if he wants to turn himself into Nazir, or he wants to be Mechayiv himself to bring a carbon, or he wants that he should be restricted by a Shvua. All those things, the word Nidri Yishoyim works. Knidri Yishoyim Loyim Erklum. However, if he says a Lashon of Nidri Yishoyim, that does not work, because Ksherim do not make Nedarim. Can advise some, if someone says, like the Nedava of a Kasher, Nadar b'Nazir v'Karbon, that is a valid Lashon to make a Shvua for a Nazir v'Karbon, because Ksherim do use a Lashon of Nedava. Now, the Mishnah makes a different distinction between Rishayim and Ksherim, that Rishayim, you make Nedarim with the Lashon of Neder, and Ksherim never make a Neder with the Lashon of a Neder. Now, the Mishnah points out that the Mishnah refers to these people as Rishayim. It doesn't mean, we're not referring to an evil or a diabolical individual. And the Ritva adds that such evil people do not tend to engage in making Nedarim that have to do with Nazirus. They're not interested in Nazirus or Karbonis and things of that nature. Such a real Rasha, circle of concern generally does not extend beyond what he feels like doing on the most superficial level. Rather, the Rishayim learn that when we say the Mishnah refers to Rishayim, it means someone that's a Rasha L'Davrazeh, someone who has a shortcoming in this matter, that he makes it in Nedarim. However, he certainly that's the extent of his rishus. However, what it comes out of the Mishnah is that only a Rasha knows, only someone who's acting improperly makes a neder. However, a kosher person does not make a neder. Now, it's very difficult to understand this, and the Rishonim discuss this, that there's a Mefurshe Mishnah in Maseches Avos that seems to praise making Nedarim. The Mishnah in Paragimel, Mishnah Yudzayin, says that, in Maseches Avos, says that Nedarim Siog L'Prishos. So it's mashma that there are Nedarim that Cherim also make, and our Mishnah is mashma that a Kasher never makes a Neder. So this is the question the Rishonim ask. So, Pshuta, you could say, like, based on what the Ran says over here. The Ran points out that in the Mishnah, when it discusses Nidrei Rishayim, it refers to Ubishvua. It refers to the concept of a Shvua, that a Rasha makes Shvuas. However, the end of the Mishnah, when it talks about Nidvas Ksherim, that Ksherim who do use make a Nedava, the Tana omits the Lashon of a Shvua. So the Ran is bothered, why doesn't the Tana say that a Kasher will also make a Nedava for a Shvua? So the Ran answers that the only time that a kosher is allowed to make a shvua is a shvua to be mizaris himself to do something that he's anyways chayv to do. So since he's anyways chayv to do it, this person makes a shvua. So the Ran explains that the word nedava does not have a connotation that the person is accepting upon himself a new thing. However, something which is anyways an obligation to do would not be fitting to use the term nedava. That is what the Ran says. Now, so based on this Ran, we could say that the Mishnah, when it says nedarim siyog l'prishos, it's referring to things that a person anyways is mechuyev to do. That the Mishnah in Maseches Avos, when it refers to nedarim siyog l'prishos, it calls a neder, meaning this what the Ran here calls a nedava. That's what we could say. And really, the shot is borne out in the Ramban. In the Ramban, on the Rif, near the Rif, where he speaks out, he has a lot of Nerichas and Ar Masechta. The Ran says, at the end of our Sugya, Shemina Meha, we can understand from our Sugya that a person who's kosher should not make a neder or shvua. Rather, he should just do what he's obligated to do. However, he speaks out that, if it's a mitzvah that a person is mechuyev to do anyway, just that he's afraid he will be lazy about it, So then he is allowed to make a neder, and that's what the Mitana means in Maseches Ovis when it says the Dharma Siyag Lepisha. So we see in the Ramban also this concept that a kosher person can make a neder when it is to do a mitzvah that he's anyways obligated to do, as long as he's not doing something that's not being accepting upon himself a chiyuv that he's not chayiv to do already min haTorah. So that's what we could say, the Ran and the Ramban. However, the Rambam, at the end of Hilchos Nedarim, seems to say that a person could make, there is a concept of making a neder, even in a case where a person is not strictly obligated to do it. Because the Rambam, when he speaks out about what's a proper neder, he says that Nisha Nadar Nedarim Kidei L'Chaynen De'Yosov, if someone makes a nether in order to straighten his midas, l'sakin ma'isov, and make that his ma'isov should be proper, heza no meshubach, such a person is praiseworthy. Ketzad, how is it? K'gayin misha yezoylul, let's say someone had a problem that he's too much drawn after food, v'asa abosolov shana ishtayim, or he forbids himself from eating, and therefore he forbids himself from eating meat for a year or two, and he goes on to list all kinds of things that if a person has a shortcoming in midas, he makes upon himself, accepts upon himself a neder. So the Rambam says that such a neder is what Chazal referred to as siyag l'prishus nedarim. That is the Rambam in Perek Yud Gimel of Hilchos Nedarim Halacha Chav Gimel. So we see from the Rambam that we do find a concept of a neder in which a person is accepting upon himself something which he's not strictly obligated to do, he's just helping his avodas Hashem. So if so, we have to understand our Mishnah, when the Mishnah says that Kenidrei Rishayim, only Rasha makes a neder, but there's no such concept of a neder v'ksherim, l'chay we have to understand why is that, l'chay we find over here in the Rambam that there are nedarim that a person can make, that even a kosher person can make, and something that Chazal praise and approve of. So, to answer this, perhaps we could say, based on another side of the Ran notes that in the notes that the Sefer of the Mishnah draws, says that a kosher does make a nidvas nazir. Now, there's an idea that a kosher person will make will accept upon himself nazirus, but he does it. But the Mishnah refers to that as a nidava. Whereas in the Reisha, what a Rasha does is that he accepts upon himself nazirus as a neder. Now, the Ran notes that there really is no distinction regarding nazirus between a neder and a nidava. Bishlam by a carbon. So the Gemara explains that by a carbon, if a person says hare alai, that he accepts upon himself to bring a carbon, regardless of whether a specific animal will actually come through as a carbon, he accepts himself the broader obligation to bring a carbon. That's called a nether. Whereas in a dove by a carbon, when you say hare zu, you say that only this animal, I'm only obligated to bring this animal. And the Gemara says in certain cases, if you have it in the right place, the hainu by the azara, that is a case which is a nedava that a kosher makes. However, the Ran says, by nazirus, how is it possible that there's a difference between a neder and a nedava? The nazirus is just one concept. Either he's a nazir or he's not a nazir. So why is it that how could the Mishnah say that there's a difference between neder and a nedava regarding nazirus? That is the question of the Ran. And to answer that question, the Ran says that the Mishnah refers to as a nedava is just something that's proper to do, whereas a neder is something that's improper to do. Now, that's what the Ran says. And therefore, based on that explanation, we can go back and explain the Rambam. That is, since the Mishnah seems to refer to any neder which is positive, the Mishnah refers to as a nedava, so therefore it's understood that when the Mishnah says nedarim siyag l'prishos, the Mishnah is referring to nedarim which are positive. Our Mishnah would refer to that as a nedava, and the Mishnah in Ovis refers to as a neder, but it's the same idea, and therefore if a person's coming to make a neder that's positive, he has to use Lashon Nedava, because that is the way the Chazal in our Mishnah refer to positive neder. Now, what comes out of this Ran is that there's a difference between someone that what the Mishnah refers to as a neder and what the Mishnah refers to as a nedava. That a neder is a bad thing and a nedava is a good thing. Now, on a superficial level, we understand very simply, because since Chazal say a person should not make say Hirezu, so that's a bad Hirei Alai, a person should not accept themselves a Lashon of Neder, that makes a Neder into a bad thing. Whereas since in the case of a carbon, Hirei Zu is a good thing, so therefore good people say a good thing. That's how we would understand on a very superficial level what the Rana is saying, why there's this broad distinction between a Neder and a Dova. However, I want to suggest a much deeper understanding of this Rana, based on a fascinating yesod that Rav Dessler says in the Michtam Eliyahu. Rav Dessler says in Chelek Gimbal, page 295, he explains the deeper difference between someone who says Harezu and someone who says, the mindset of a person who says Harezu and the mindset of a person who says Harei Alai. He says, most people they encounter in their lifetime times of deep inspiration. So there are two types of people that have different types of approaches to when they are inspired to do great things. One person when he gets an inspiration, he goes ahead and does it. So if let's say the inspiration is to bring a carbon, he'll go over to his animal and say Harei Zu. This is a carbon, and he just designated this animal and go bring it as a carbon. That's one approach. Another approach is a person who's not really holding by actualizing and implementing the dictates of this inspiration. So what does he do? On the one hand, he's inspired to do something good. On the other hand, he really is not holding by doing it. So Rav Dessler says what such a person tends to do is he'll say, Harei Alai. He makes a neder for the future. At some point, I'll bring an animal. And then, that way, he satisfies his cravings to go higher, to go be on a higher madrega. Whereas, on the other hand, he does not have to actually do something. All he has to do is accept upon himself to do something. So that is the basis of the difference between someone who says Harei Zu and someone who says Harei Alai. So the difference between a neder and a dove. Based on this Rav Dessler, we can understand why it is that, according to what the Rana is saying, that the Mishnah, the Tana, the Mishnah uses the term of Nidrei Rishayim as a Nedarim applying to someone who's a Rasha, someone who's holding on a deficient Madrega, whereas by Ksheirim, anything that Kasha does, even, let's say, Naziros, the Tana will use the Lashon of Nedava, because that's really what a Kasha does. The Nedava is the action that a person who's a Kasha takes. I just want to make one more point in the Mishnah, and that is that we spoke out from the Ran and the Ritva that when the Mishnah says Nidrei Rishayim, it does not mean a Rasha as in a bad person. It means someone who's deficient in this area of Nadarim. However, there is another Mahalach in the Rishayim, and that is the Rashbas learns that Rishayim literally means people that do Averis. Now he says that what the Mishnah is referring to with Nidrei Rishayim is people who do Averis, and then after they do their Averis, they're overcome with remorse, and that causes them, and they're also scared of the Einish for their Averis, and that causes them to take upon themselves things that they would not normally do. So such a thing is called a nether. And that, the Mitana and the Mishnah contrasts with what a proper Aksherim do, which is Aksherim make what's called Nadavas. Nadava implies Nadiva Salev. A person wants to do something for the Baruch Shalom. So that's why when a Kasher wants to do something, it has the term Nadava to it attached, because he wants to give something of himself to the Baruch Shalom. Whereas an evil person, a Rasha, even though right now he's afraid of his Einshim, what he's trying to do is not to give something to the Baruch Shalom, rather he's just trying to use this as a means to alleviate either his guilt or to save himself from an Einish, but it's not because he be'etzim wants to give it to the Baruch Shalom. Okay, so let's go now to the Gemara. The Gemara brings down the Lashon of the Mishnah, Kenidrei Shem Nadir Benazir Bekarben Ashua, and the Gemara says, brings down from Shmuel, what that means is, Ba'oimer is talking that a person says, Kenidrei Shem Hareini Olai Vehemenu. The Rishonim explain, most Rishonim at Akalpanim learn like this, that what Shmuel means to say is, the Mishnah is talking about three distinct cases. One case is, he says, Nidrei Rishayim Hareini. Another case is, he says, Nidrei Rishayim Alai. And a third case is, Nidrei Rishayim Heimenu. So the Gemara asks, that when so it's before from the Gemara that when the person says Nidre Rishayim Hareini, he means to make himself into a Nazir. So the Gemara asks that how do we know that he means to make himself into a Nazir? Maybe what he means to do is to say Hareini B'Tainis. Maybe I'm sitting in the Tainis, or maybe he intends to be Mekabel himself a Tainis Nadava. How do we know that he means Nazirus? The Gemara makes it a Kimta, Amar Shmuel, Kishahiya Nazir, Oyver Lefanov. The case is that the person is sitting and a Nazir comes by and passes by him, and then he says the words Kenidre Rishayim Hareini. So that implies, since there's a Nazir here, we understand from the context when he says Hareini, he means to be say Hareini like this person, and he means to accept upon himself Nazirus. Now, the Gemara only says it, but says this thing, that there's a Nazir in front of him in the case of Hareini, where he says he says Hareini, and it means, the Gemara says that means that he Hareini Nazir. By the other cases, for example, let's say he says a lie, he says Kenidri Rishayim Alai. The Gemara does not say that we need an animal here. However, many Rishayim, the Ran speaks out like this, they say that the Gemara doesn't mean just by Nazir, it means even by a carbon, that the only time a person who says Kenidri Rishayim Alai is obligated to bring a carbon, that we know that he means a carbon, is if there's an animal in front of him. Now, I just want to point out that there is a Chiddush over here, because by a Nazir, that when a Nazir passes by the person, the Ketusha that he's trying to be Meichel upon himself is over here. That Nazir has a certain type of Ketusha. And when I say Hareini, I'm saying Hareini, I'm like this person's Ketusha. However, when there's just an animal here, and I say Olai, it's not as clear that the animal is an animal of Chulin. Just because I say that Olai, who says I mean a carbon? However, this much we see from Rishonim, that if there's an animal here, I probably mean to do what's significant by animals, and we assume the person means a carbon. Now, the Yelis HaShacher, Achar, from the Aaron Leib Steinman, he has a question over here. That, let's say, the Gemara is saying, based on what the Ran explains the Gemara Kalpanim, that when there's an animal here, and a person says, Kinidre Rishayim Alai, he intends to say that he's making, that the animal should be Alai to be a carbon. Frek the Yelis HaShacher, who says the person means that it should be a carbon that he has to actually bring on the Mizbeach? Maybe what the person means is that it should be like a kainim. In other words, it should be that I'm not going to be nana offering this animal like a carbon. But who says he means to actually bring the animal as a carbon? And if it's not clear from his lashon that he means to bring the animal as a carbon, so then it's a yad sheinu mechiach, and therefore it should not be a good lashon. That is the question of the Yelis HaShacher. So I just wanted to suggest that perhaps we could say is that when there's an animal, a live animal, live animals that we're not holding yet by achila, we're not holding by eating a live animal. So therefore, it could be that that's why we intend, why we understand when the person says Hareini, Alai, he means Alai to do what we do with live animals, which is to bring them for a carbon. Whereas being asking on a na, this animal's not in a state where anyways a person can be nana from it, So therefore, perhaps we do not assume that he means to say something about being nana from this animal. So let's go weiter in the Gemara. The Gemara asks, Mani Masnisin, who is the Tana of our Mishnah? So the Gemara brings down a machlokes between Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda about making a neder and paying off the neder. According to Reb Meir, the ideal way to bring a carbon is to just bring the carbon without making any sort of neder. That is ideal. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the ideal way to bring a carbon is first to make a nether, and then to bring the carbon. And that's even better than just bringing the carbon without a preceding nether. Now the Gemara brings down from the Braisa that the Yisoid of the Machlekes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda is to how to understand the Psukim in Sefer Kehelas. There are two Psukim in Sefer Kehelas that discuss Nedarim as far as paying up the nether goes. One Pasuk says, Eis Asher Tidar Shalem, that whatever you make, if you make a neder, you should pay it. And the next pasuk says, "Toiv asher lo tidar, misha tidar v'lo tashalim." It's better that you should not make a neder rather than making a neder and not paying off the neder. Now, the psukim, the way we read them in the most simplistic manner, just discuss the two extremes of the spectrum. According to the first pasuk, just saying that if you made a neder, go pay it. And the second pasuk is saying that it's better not to make a neder that you won't pay. When you read the psukim with the bepashtus in a simplistic manner, you don't really see if it's better to make a neder or better not to make a neder if you wind up paying the neder. So this is a subject of the machlekes Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda. The way Reb Meir learns the Mishnah, this psukim, what the pasuk is saying is Toiva Shalitidar is going back on the first pasuk too. In other words, the first pasuk says Esa Shatidar Shalim. If you happen to make an editor, make sure you pay it. And the second one is saying the best thing is the Toiv. That what's best is Toiva Shalitidar. Better not to make an editor in the first place. And this that the second pasuk goes on to say Mishatidar of Leita Shalim. According to Reb Meir, what that means is that why is it better not to make an editor in the first place rather than making an editor and paying it? It's because Mishatidar of Leita Shalim. Since whenever you make an editor, there exists the possibility that the editor won't come to fruition and you won't pay up your editor. So that's why the best thing is just to mitzvahs without making a darm. That is Rabbi Meir's approach to these psukim. Now, that Rabbi Yehuda learns that the pasuk of Toiv Asher Lo Tidar, the second pasuk that says it's better not to make a neder, is restricted to the second pasuk. And the second pasuk is saying that it's better not to make a neder, only it's better than making a neder and not paying it. But the best thing is the first pasuk, that Asher Tidar Shalem. Now, the Rana asks, according to Rabbi Yehuda, what's the second pasuk saying? That it's better not to make a neder than making a neder not paying. L'chayr, that's very pashut, of course. If you're not going to pay the neder, then what's the point of making such a neder? So the Ran says that I would have had a havamina that the reason why it's good to make a neder is an end in itself. Now it's this itself that I try to make a neder and I accept upon myself to do a mitzvah, that itself has a positive value to it. Now, if let's say I did the positive thing of making a neder, and then I don't wind up doing the neder, so I'd have a mina that Al-Kopanami did something positive by making the neder. So what's the kamashmon of the pasuk? Why is it that it's taken not the best thing to do? So therefore the pasuk is saying Toiv Asher Lo Tidar Mishatidar Lo Tishalem. Because the whole milo, the Ran learns that the whole milo of making a neder is because only in as much as it comes to fruition. But if I'll make a neder and it won't come to fruition, then I have no maila in making neder. In other words, making a neder is not inherently a good thing. It's only a maila if in the end I wind up paying up the neder. So therefore, if I made a neder and I didn't, and let's say I forgot, or I made an oinis, then I get no schar whatsoever on the neder, the fact of the neder itself. Lashon of the Ran, the way he speaks out is, she'ena schar b'shasa neder, elo b'shasa tashlumen. The maila of making a neder only happens if he winds up making it actually fulfilling the neder. But just making a neder itself is not a maila. Now, Rabbi Leib Shteyman in his Sefer Yelza Shachar asks on this Ran that the lashon of the Ran over here is that if he made a neder and he forgot or he became an oinis and he wasn't able to do it, he does not get a schar on the neder. So Rabbi Leib is medayik, it's mashma that he won't get schar, but he won't get an oinis either. So Rabbi Leib asks that if that's true, so then why is it that everyone shouldn't make a neder? Why should everyone not make a neder? If he does it, so he'll get schar. If he doesn't do it, so it doesn't say he gets an oinish. All it says in the Ran is that he loses the schar of the neder. So just from a pragmatic perspective, why in the world would someone not make a neder? He only stands to gain. If he does the neder and if he winds up being fulfilling a neder, he gets schar. And if he doesn't wind up doing the neder, so then he still won't get an oinish, because that's the mashmaus of the Ran, that there's just all he does if he doesn't fulfill the neder is that he won't get a schar of the neder. But if he won't get an oinish, what's wrong with making? Why in the world would a person not make a neder? That is his kasha, and he blives Tarachin on this kasha. Now, I want to suggest the Teretz's kasha, but really, first we really have to explain what is the maila of making a neder. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's pashut as a maila making a neder. That's a shita. The best thing to do, the way to do, bring a carbon is to first make a neder. And even according to Meir, the reason why the pasuk says it's not kedai to make a neder is because there's the fear that maybe he won't fulfill the neder. But it's mashma without that chashash. So then also it's mashal there would be some sort of maila making an eder. So we have to understand the basic idea. Why is it that there's a maila according to Behuda in making a neder? And if we do say there's a maila in making an eder, that itself is a positive thing, so we really have to understand what the Ran is saying. Why, if the person doesn't fulfill the neder, why does he not get schar for the neder? To the extent that there's a positive benefit to making an eder, why should it be that if the neder doesn't come to fruition, that he loses the schar of making that neder? And like the Ran says, that ain't a neder b'shasa, schar b'shasa neder b'shasa tashlumin. That the whole maila is just during the neder, during the tashlumin. And not during the neder, we have to understand what is the maila. So I want to makdim that we find the concept in Shas that there's a maila of doing a mitzvah in a manner when a person is afraid of not doing the mitzvah. For example, the Gemara says in several places in Shas that someone who's a mitzvah va'isa gets more schar than someone who's not mitzvah va'isa. For example, if let's say an isha fulfills the mitzvah seishas man groma, she will get less schar than a man who fulfills that same mitzvah. And even though they did the same mitzvah, so Rashi explains the reason is because when there's more schar when he's doyig in the mitzvah, when a person is nervous about fulfilling the mitzvah, and then he does the mitzvah, such a mitzvah is a more valuable mitzvah, and he gets more schar for such a mitzvah. Now we find really this same concept in other areas also of halacha. For example, in Arachayim Siman Resh Pei Hei, in the halachas of Shnayim Mikra Ve'echot Targum, it says that it's a mitzvah and a muvcher to read Shnayim Mikra Ve'echot Targum before the Suda. The Mishnah Berurah explains, the reason is because we're afraid that maybe he'll be nimshach in his Suda, maybe his Suda will extend itself, and he won't get a chance to be Maver Sedra. Now, we have to understand, to the extent that he does wind up in the end being Maver Sedra after a Suda, so why is his mitzvah lacking in this mitzvah Muvchar? At most, the Lashon should say that it's better to read Shnayim Mikra Ve'echot Targum before the Suda, because we're afraid that he'll forget. But why is it a mitzvah muvchar in the etzim kriya? What's the maila? Why is it the kriya which is done before the Suda is more muvchar than a kriya that's done not during the Suda? But in other words, after the Suda. So according to this Yisoid, it's very good. Because when a person reads Shnayim Mikra Ve'echot Targum before the Suda, they indicate that they're nervous about not being Mekayim the Mitzvah. A Mitzvah that's done through nervousness of not being Mekayim the Mitzvah, that is a more chashuv Mitzvah. So now we can begin to understand the basic pshat in Rabbi Yehuda, that in the Maila of doing a Mitzvah that has a Neder preceding it. When a person makes a Neder and then does the Mitzvah, that makes that when they do the mitzvah, they're more nervous about not doing the mitzvah. So Mela, that's why, that is the Mela of making an eder. So now we understand very gishmak what the Ran is saying, that the mitzvah, that the schar is not for the etzem asiyas mitzvah, rather it's for the tashlumin. In other words, what the neder does is that it sets up the tashlumin that it should be more chashuv a tashlumin. Now perhaps we could go on to explain, to answer up the kasha of Rav Steinman. Rav Steinman asked that it's meduyik in the Ran that a person does not get an oynish for not if he doesn't fulfill the neder. So he asks, so if there's no oynish, if he forgets to do the neder, then what does he lose by making the neder? So the answer is like this. If the neder would be inherently a maila, there would be a mitzvah to make the neder inherently. So then the person would have a right to go ahead and make a neder, and he wouldn't get an einish for not fulfilling the neder if he forgets the neder. He said he's engaged in a dvar maila, he's engaged in making a neder, if that would be an end in itself, like the havamina would be. So ein hachanami, the person would not have to fear, not have to be mechuyiv to be chayshish, then maybe he won't fulfill the neder, because he's engaged in a mitzvah, in a chashuv thing. But now that we say that the whole maila is only that it makes a maila in the tashlumin. The whole maila of making neder is not inherently as an end itself. It's only in the tashlumin. So it comes out that the neder itself is not a dvar mitzvah. It's just a setup that the tashlumin should make the mitzvah to being a more chashuv mitzvah. So if so, then it's very likely that in the maskana that there's no maila to the neder. If a person then makes a neder anyways, and he's not afraid of the consequence of not fulfilling the neder, then it's very likely to say that it's very mistaver that he would get an oynish for making a neder and not fulfilling it. Because when he made the neder, he wasn't engaged in a mitzvah in itself. All he's engaged in was in the setup of making another mitzvah chashav. So for that, it could be a person has no right to take a risk and not make the neder. And he could be that in the end of the day, in the maskana, it could be that a person would get an oynish, and therefore that's why it's a maila. Therefore, a person is not a rat. It's not kedai to make the neder to the extent the neder is not fulfilled. The Gemara further on brings down that the case in the Mishnah of nidvas ksheirim is if a person does like Hillel HaZaken. The Gemara brings down a brisa that Amru Alav al Hillel HaZaken, they said on Hillel HaZaken that a person was never moil with his oila. Why? Because he would bring it to the, when it was chulin to the Zara, he would be makdish it right over there in the Azara, and then he would be makriv it. Now, the Tiferes Tzion is Meir that it says only that a person would not be Meil, would not do Me'ila to Hillel's Oila. Why does the Braisa specify Oila rather than other Karbonis such as Chatos, Oshem, Shlomim? So the Tiferes Tzion says that Hillel HaZaken was such a big tzaddik that surely he never brought a chatos or an osham. He would never, chas v'shalom, do a veira even b'shaygig. That's why he doesn't say chatos and osham. And as far as a shlomim, he says the reason why the braisa does not discuss a shlomim is because anyways a shlomim can't, when the shlomim is alive, there's no me'ila on kachim kalim b'chayim. That is the Tiferes Tzion. Now, al kaponim, it comes up from the Gemara that the way we read the Gemara and the simple reading is that Hillel HaZaken would bring his behema, his animal, into the Azara. Now, the Ran points out that this Gemara has to be Lav Davka. This Lashon that he brought his animal to the Zara, it can't be, because he says there's an Isser to bring a behema of Chulin into the Zara. That is Havas Chulin Vazara. To answer this, the Ran says, what it must mean is that the Gemara means that he brought his behema to the Pesach of the Zara, to the entranceway, and right before he brought it to the Zara, that's where he would be makdish it, and then he would bring it right in. And therefore, since he was makdish it right before he got to the Zara, there was no chashash that someone would be moil in his animal. That is the Mahalach of the Ran. Now, Lamaisa, there are a number of Rishonim that argue on this Ran, and they hold that they learn our Gemara Kipshutai. He brought his animal to the Zara, and it was Makdish over there. So I just wanted to take a moment to discuss what the Machlaikis between the Ran and the other Rishonim is. And the Makar of this Machlaikis is a Gemara in Baba Basra, Daf Pei Aleph on the Beis. The Gemara says over there, asks the Kasha, that how can you, if you have Sufik Bikurim, if you have Paris, that maybe they're Bikurim, maybe they're not Bikurim, the Gemara says, how could I bring it into the Zara? It's a Shiloh of being Chulin, on the Tzad that they're Chulin, so it's bringing Chulin into the Zara. That is the Lashon of the Gemara in Baba Basra. So the Rashbam explains that why should it be usher to bring payers of chulin to the Zara? So he brings a drasha in the Sifri. So the Sifri says that it says ki yirchak mimcha hamakim v'zavachta. So the Sifri makes a drasha that berichuk makim atazaveach, you're only allowed to shecht chulin, but if richuk makim, if it's you're distant from the base of mikdash, v'loi v'kiruv makim. But if you're in the Zara, you're not allowed to bring, you're not allowed to shecht chulin. So the Rishbam has two approaches to the issue of bringing chulin itself. Like the Gemara says, he can't bring the peiros into the Zara. So there's two approaches to why it is that's aser. One is that this that the Tzifri says that b'richuk makim to zaveach is lav dafke. It doesn't mean that you're going to shecht it. even bringing it is aser. That's one approach. And the other approach the Rishbam speaks out is that really it could be that min haTorah there's only an iser to actually shecht chulin in the zara. But just to bring a live animal to the zara, it could be that's not an iser min haTorah. However, the Rishbam says it would be an iser derabanan because maybe people will see that you act with this animal the way you act with a chulin animal. And in other words, you let it serve you, you hope put things on it. Since it's chulin, I'll come to you, treat it like chulin. And then people will see that I'm doing that, and they'll take their kachin behemoth, and they'll also put things on it and use it, and that'll be a iser d'oraisa. So therefore, Chazal said, you're not even allowed to bring chulin into the Zara, even a live animal. And that's pshat in the Gemara over there. The Gemara says you can't even bring peyus, which are chulin. It's because of this xayra. Once Chazal were geyser, that you can't bring chulin to the Zara, even peyus of chulin, you can't bring it to the Zara. That is the Duma Halchim of the Rashbam. So now we understand very good the Ran over here. The Ran says, he learns our Gemara, that it can't be talking about a live behemoth, like the Ran says, just like these pairs of Bikurim I'm not allowed to bring into the Zara, Huadin, I can't bring this animal, this live animal that I'm intending to makriv into the Zara. So the question is, what are the Rishonim that argue on the Ran, and they say that our Gemara means literally that Hillel will bring it into the in the animal, into the Zara, how do they learn the before in the Gemara and Baba Basra that you can't even bring Peiris of Chulin into the Zara? So there are two Mahalchim. Taisus over there in Baba Basra learns that the reason why it's us to bring Peiris into the Zara, even though the Pasuk says that the Berichuk Matzukam Ata Zeveach, the Torah only asks Zvicha, Taisa says, because when you're the Hagasha or the Tnufa, when you do this act of when you bring Bikurim, you do either Hagasha to the Mizbeach, you bring the Bikurim next to the Mizbeach, or you do Tnufa to the Peiris. So he says, that blies Ke'en Zvicha. Now it's a Mice of Avaida, since it's a Mice of Avaida, that is Ke'en Zvicha, and therefore you can't do it, even that's why that's the Isser that the Gemara is referring to. However, it comes out according to Taisus, if I'll just bring a live behemoth into the Zara and take it out, that's not a problem at all. That is Taisus Mahalach. And there's another Mahalach, which is the Taisus of Rosh over there, Mesechus Baba Basra. He learns that, like the second side of the Shvam, that the problem of bringing chulin to the Zara is because you'll be naig with it like a minig of chulin. People will see that I'm acting with this behemoth the way I act with chulin dikka behemoth. So he says, if I'm right away going to be makdashit, then it's not a problem. Since I'm right away going to be makdashit, so people will see that right after, that as soon as I'm makdashit, I'm no longer treating it like chulin. They'll understand there's a difference between chulin and kachim, and there's no reason to aser bringing an animal of chulin into the Zara in such a case. So what comes up basically are the three opinions in the Rishonim. According to Taisus and Baba Basra, there's never an Isser to bring a live animal of Chulin into the Zara. As long as they don't shecht it, there is no Isser of bringing Chulin to the Zara. According to the Taisus of Rosh over there, the only time it's mutter to bring a live animal is if I'm going to be Makdish right away in the Zara, and then be Makdish right away in the Zara. And according to the Ran, the person never has a heter to bring a live animal into the Zara, even if he's planning being Makdish right away. The Gemara further down on the Amid brings down the case. How could it be that what's the case of a person that a kosher will be make a nedava to be a nazir? So the Gemara says the case is like the story of Shimon HaTzadik. That is the very famous story of Shimon HaTzadik, that he would never eat from the carbon of a nazir that became tamei, with one exception. And the Gemara brings down in detail that exception. The Gemara says that he saw a nazir that was exceedingly beautiful, that was bringing his karbanis and obviously going to shave his head. And he asked him, what is it? You have such a beautiful appearance. What could have driven you to become a nazir and have to shave off this beautiful hair? So the Gemara says that this person said that he was a shepherd, and one time he was in the field and he saw that, and he saw his reflection in the water. And he went on to relate to Shimon HaTzadik that Pachas Alay Yitzri, the Yitzhara overcame him, Ubikesha Tadenim in Olam, the Yitzhara wanted to banish this person from the world, and this person was angry to the Yitzhara and made a shvua that he will be Megaleach his hair L'Shem Shemayim. So the Gemara says that Shimon HaTzadik, Miad umarati, I stood up in a shaktiv al roishoy, I kissed him on his head, umarati loy, I said to him, B'ni kamoicha yirbu nozir naziris b'Yisrael. So, if such pure intentions in becoming a nazir, halvai that more there should be more nazirim like you. And he went on to say, Alecha kosov oimer ish kiyafli lindar neder nazir lahazir l'Hashem. It's about you that the pasuk says that this pasuk of ish kiyafli lindar neder nazir lahazir l'Hashem. So I just wanted to be oimid that he applied, the Shimon HaTzadik applied to this particular nazir the pasuk of ish kiyafli lindar neder nazir lahazir l'Hashem. Now, we have to understand, this pasuk is talking about every nazir. It's talking about good nazirim and bad nazirim. So Shaila is, what is it that Shimon HaTzadik saw about this particular pasuk that it applies to this particular scenario of a person who is who's coming to with L'Shem Shemayim, to become a nazir L'Shem Shemayim? Now, a simple mahalach would be to explain based on the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra explains when the pasuk says ki yafli lindar neder nazir, with the lashon of yafli lindar lashon, he explains the lashon yafli means it's a dover pella. This person is doing an amazing thing that he's becoming a nazir, unlike the rest of the society that goes after the Yetzer Hara. This yafli lindar neder, this person is doing a pella by becoming a nazir. Now, according to the Ibn Ezra, certainly this pasuk does not mean that every single nazir has to be a pella from the rest of society. For example, let's say someone would get paid by his friends to become a nazir. So obviously he would have all the halachas of nazir, but these words ki yaflu lindar neder would not apply to him. So according to the way the mahalach of the Ibn Ezra, then this yafli does not apply to all nazirim, and we could say that what the pasuk is saying is that in the parsha of nazir there are some people that are taka doing a pella. But so that would explain. That's what Shimon Tzadik is saying. That you, they told this nazir from Darim, that you who is becoming a nazir to bandit to try and fight your Tzahara, you are nichlal this kiyafli lindo neder nazir lahazal Hashem. That's what we could say based on the mahalach of the Ibn Ezra. However, many Rishonim do not learn the pasuk of yafli lindar that it means this way of pella, for that you're doing a pella that other people don't do. Rashi, for example, learns that ki yafli means the lashon of ki yafrish, that the person is separating himself. In other words, both Rashi and the Ibn Ezra understand the word ki yafli is lashon of pella, which is a lashon of mechusa, lashon of covered. No, the Ibn Ezra understands he's covered. In other words, he's distinguished from the rest of society in that his actions are more altruistic. However, Rashi understands that he's also lashon of covered, but it means that it's covered, meaning separated, that he's separating himself to be a nazir. Now, the way Rashi learns the pasuk, then we have to understand our Gemara, because it comes out the word kiyafli has nothing to do with the maila of a nazir. All it has to do is that he's being parish himself. And like we said before, anyone who's parish himself, anyone who becomes a nazir is being parish himself from the things that the Torah says a nazir has to be parish. That's Rashi's malach. The Targum Unklus explains quite the opposite of Rashi and the Ibn Ezra. The Targum Unklus says he translates kiyafli as gvar yitzare yifaresh lemidar nidar naziru lemezer kadam Hashem. In other words, he understands the lashon of hafla means a lashon of being mefarish, of explaining something and saying it clearly. So he understands pella lashon of lahafli as being sort of the opposite of mechusa, like Rashi and the Ibn Ezra. So we have to understand, according to Rashi and according to Targum Unklus, the lashon of hafla over here applies to all nazirim. So what is Shimon HaTzadik saying that alecha mar kara kiyafli ish kiyafli lindo neder nazir lahazal Hashem? L'chari, this applies to all nazirim. So perhaps we can explain with the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. The Aruch Chaim HaKadosh is medayik in the pasuk over here that the pasuk is referring to two types of nazirim. He understands like this. The pasuk says like this: Dabrel b'nei Yisrael v'marta aleihem. So the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh explains that this parsha says a double lashon. One is dabir, which is lashon kasha, in a difficult way of speaking, a harsh way of speaking, And then the Pasuk says, V'marta in a soft way. So he understands the Pasuk is addressing two types of Nazirim. One is a Nazir who does it improperly. Such a person, it's Daber, you speak to him harshly. And then there's a person who does it L'shem Shemayim, like in our Gemara, V'marta Lehem, you say that to him softly. So then he goes on to say, Isha Isha Kiyafli Lindar Neder. So Lindar Neder means anyone who makes a Neder, even someone who does it for the wrong reasons. So then the Pasuk says, La Nazir Lahazir Lashem. The end of the Pasuk is Lahazir Lashem. He's doing it L'shem Shemayim. So according to the Archaim HaKadosh, it's very Gishmak what Shimon HaTzadik was saying. In other words, he wasn't saying, when he says Alecha Omar Kra Kiyafli Ish Kiyafli Lindar Neder Nazir Lahazir Lashem, he's not going on the words Kiyafli Lindar. Rather, according to Archaim HaKadosh, he's going on the words Lahazir Lashem. In other words, the Torah refers to a person who's being Lahazir L'Shem. He's making himself a Nazir L'Shem Shemayim. You are Nichlal, since you're doing it for the right reason, you're Nichlal in this Lahazir L'Shem. The Gemara brings down that the reaction of Shimon HaTzadik when he heard the story of this shepherd was that Amadati, I got up and I gave this Nazir a kiss. He kissed him on his head. And then he proceeded to eat from his carbon. So, we have to understand, the Ramah in Simen Tzadi Ches, in Sif Aleph, in Ar Chaim, brings down, there's an Isser to kiss Ban of Ktanim, a person's younger children in the basic Knesset. And the reason is, in order that he should be Kaveya and his lave, it should be established within his heart, that there's no Ava like the Ava to the Baruch Shalom. So, what we have to understand is that the whole din of Maariv Mikdash of the basic Knesset is learned from the Maariv Mikdash of the basic Mikdash. So Shimon HaTzadik was standing in the basic Mikdash when he saw this Nazir. So how could it be that he gave him a person a kiss in the basic Mikdash? So the Sefer Birchas Chanoich brings down from Moshe Feinstein that he was oimed on the Shali, he was oimed on this kasha on the Ramah from our Gemara, and he brings a raya from our Gemara that the only iser to kiss a person in shul is if he's doing so during davening. But if davening is not going on, there's no iser. And the Moshe explains based on this yisoi that he's saying from our Gemara, The answer is a question that we could ask in the Ramah. He says, the Ramah brings down this din in Simen Tzadi Ches, that a person can't kiss his children in the shul. He brings it down in Hilchos Tefillah. Simen Tzadi Ches discusses Hilchos Tefillah, and he brings this halacha in Hilchos Tefillah. Rav Moshe is bothered, why does he bring it down in Hilchos Tefillah? This is a halacha in basic Knesset. So based on this yisoy that he's bringing from our Gemara, Rav Moshe says it's very good, because it's taka din only in Hilchos Tefillah. Only while davening is going on, that is the time that it's usher to give to kiss a person in shul. But when there's no davening, there's no iser. And I want to suggest somewhat of a raya to Rav Moshe from the Bir HaGra over here. The Bir HaGra on this din of the Ramah brings down a Zohar Kaddish that says that the reason why a person can't daven behind his Rebbe is because when he davens behind his Rebbe, he's indicating that there's that the covet of his Rebbe is similar to the covet of the Baruch Shalom. So according to the Gainal, so Pashas would be that it's talking during the Tefillah. That is Rav Moshe Feinstein's Shita. However, I saw brought down from Chaim Kinevsky that he learned that the Isser that Ramah is referring to kiss one's children in the basic Knesset is talking even not during davening. And really, the Chari, that is the Pashas in this Ramah. Because really, the Ramah, when he brings this down, that a person can't kiss his children in the basic Knesset, he's not talking about the halachas of tefillah, like the regular halachas. What he's discussing is the halacha of preparing for tefillah. And that was the din is, the Ramah's just got off saying that a person, when he prepares for tefillah, has to remove all other ava from his heart. And on this, the Ramah says that a person can't kiss his son in the shul. So it's mashma, we're not talking about a pesalach and hilchos tefillah, Rather, we're discussing removing that person's ava for their children shouldn't be doing it to the ava for the Roshim. So that the Rosh says that a person should also not kiss his children in shul. But there's no indication if he means tam, it's mehilchas of tefillah, the regular halachas of tefillah, that during tefillah a person can't kiss his children. Why did the Ramah bring it over here? That would seem to indicate, like we're saying from Chaim Kinevsky, that this halacha is not limited to during the time of tefillah. Now, but the question is, what about our Gemara? Our Gemara says that even in the base of Knesset, a person is, even in the base of Mikdosh, Shimon HaTzadik gave this person a kiss. So it's a very shtakaraya, not like Reb Chaim Kinevsky. So perhaps we can answer based on halacha of the brought down by the Ben Ish Chai. The Ben Ish Chai says that even though a person can't kiss his children in the base of Knesset, he is allowed to kiss the hands of a Talmid Chacham. Of course, he's going in the Aratzos B'nei Svarad, where they would kiss the hands of Talmid Chachamim. So the Ben Ish Chai permits one to do so even in a shul. And the Ben Ish Chai explains that the whole reason why a person can't kiss his children in a shul is because a person has to show that his love for the Ben Ish Chai exceeds his love for any other person. When a person kisses the hands of the Talmid Chacham, Adrabe, the Ben Ish Chai says that this indicates that he's being mechabed the Torah, which of course comes to the Ben Ish Chai. So he's showing Kvod Shemayim by kissing the hands of a Talmid Chacham. So based on this aside, we could say the same thing in our Gemara, to answer our Gemara. The reason why Shimon HaTzadik kissed this Nazir is not to show chashivas for this Nazir as a person, that he likes this particular person. Rather, he wants to show, he's trying to indicate that the actions of this Nazir are chaviv to the Baruch Shalom. And the Baruch Shalom is trying to indicate that the Kohen Gadol's kiss is a kiss, and is an indication that this person is going b'derech Hashem. So it's not that this kiss indicates that there's a love besides the love of the Baruch Shalom for Kerd. This love is an extension of the love of the Baruch Shalom, so may it be mutter even in the base of Mikdash.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the Daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a Daf or Masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.